Pop Culture on the Apricot Tree, everyone. It's been a long time since we were here in your podcast feed. What have you been up to, Carl?
Oh, well, we had a baby, so trying to survive with the, what is it, Jim Gaffigan says when you have like your fourth kid, imagine you're drowning and somebody hands you a baby.
Yep.
The little kid's doing all right. He's not sleeping through the night, but he does wake up, feed, and then go back to sleep. So we're at least grateful for small victories in that department.
Take all the sleep you can get at that point. I took my kids on a big, long church history road trip this summer. We drove all the way to New York and back, put 5,000 miles on the van. Oh,
that sounds like fun, though. I have fond memories of the time we did that in 1897 for the sesquicentennial of the pioneers.
We were probably in the same place at the same time. I totally did that one with my family as well. We didn't even know it.
Oh, fantastic. Nice to finally reconnect all these years later.
What have you been watching while you've been up late with the baby this summer, Carl?
Yes, my policy had been for some time to save up and watch horror movies, because horror movies are better at 2 a.m. when you're holding an infant. One of the ones that I got into was Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities, which is an anthology series on Netflix that has each individual episode of based on a very short story or a novel or another TV script idea or something mashed up together with different directors and different approaches to things. And it was quite fun. I really enjoyed it and had a good time enjoying horror movies at 2 a.m. with my son in my lap as he was trying to sleep.
I am not sure your idea of enjoying a horror movie is the same as mine. I need to have all the lights on. And my husband around.
But then you can't see anything on the screen because all the screens are way too dark.
I'm real good with that. But I am interested that anthology TV, I feel like, has been making a comeback. That hadn't been a thing for a long time, but I'm seeing so many anthology series nowadays where it's each episode is completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that. Black Mirror, another one that I watched, at least I've started this summer, was Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams on Amazon Prime, where each episode is based on a short story or novel or something from Philip K. Dick. And so kind of fun because he has such an inventive imagination.
He's got to be the most adapted sci-fi writer of all time, maybe most adapted writer of all time, I swear, because pretty much everything he's written, I feel like, has been made into something at this point. Is there... Maybe Jane Austen tops him because there are lots of Jane Austen adaptations, but I don't know.
Certainly, I think among the speculative fiction genre writers, because Jane Austen is not what you would call speculative fiction, unless you count Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which I never watched.
Well, there are several fantasy versions. There's a really interesting, it's inspired by Jane Austen, by Mary Robinette Kowal, called Glamour in Glass, which is pretty much Jane Austen with magic. It's awesome.
Huh. All right. Go look that up.
I have not been watching any intense TV this summer, as I tend to. I did watch a sort of sequel to the Indian matchmaking show, which I've recommended before. It's Jewish matchmaking. Yay! It was really fun, though. Definitely some really awful people on there. But it was interesting to see a culture that confronts the problem of differing levels of orthodoxy in dating so upfront. There are all these different words for how orthodox you are, where you are on this scale, and they're all trying to match with each other and decide what level of orthodoxy their marriage is going to be at. And I was thinking, what would that look like for the Mormon dating scene? That would be very interesting. Because we don't really do that, the kind of labeling, as much as they do.
I do remember, and several of my friends who have left the church but remained in their marriages have commended me for this thing that Susan and I did. We both had the conversation before we got married. If one of us decided to leave the church, we were going to stay in the marriage. Like, we were doing this thing for the marriage's sake, not just for the, oh, I need someone to punch my ticket to get to the highest degree of the celestial kingdom sort of thing. And I think that openness has served us well, but it also very much helps that we are on the same page. And that is a fascinating dynamic to talk about in your dating, that they would have terms for. Like, what are some of the terms?
I don't pronounce Yiddish or Hebrew terms, but the one I learned was frum, which means you're like very faithful. It's probably our equivalent of like true blue Mormon. Anyway, that's what I've got right now. I can't remember all of it. This is my junk TV that I watch. I'm too tired to process anything. So, speaking of other things we watched this summer, there were some really good movies that came out this summer, and we're going to be doing episodes of the podcast about them, starting with Barbenheimer.
I would like to state for the record that I pushed for us to do both Barbie and Oppenheimer in the same episode, just so we could do a Barbenheimer episode, but I think Liz very sensibly talked me down from that.
I think there's just so much to say about both of the movies now that I've seen them both. I think if we tried to do them both at once, we'd have to have a 3-hour special, and that would not be great for recording.
You're probably right. Not to mention the wild swings back and forth between the thematic contexts.
It's true. We got a couple of other interesting episodes. Do you want to talk about our theme episode that's coming up, Carl?
So one that I proposed that Liz agreed to that I think is going to be really interesting was, or will be, that we are going to do one on artificial intelligence in movies. Because this idea came to me as I was reading an article about, now stick with me here for a minute, all you Orthodox Latter-day Saints out there, reading this article about how there was like one of the top creators on OnlyFans was working with AI people to create like a simulacrum of herself who they could then market to people as like a virtual girlfriend. And I watched this and I was like, this was a movie a few years ago with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson with a guy who falls in love with his artificial intelligence, like personal concierge or whatever she is, like the Siri or Alexa, the really advanced version that they have in this new timeline, in this future point of, you know, human-computer development, and he falls in love with her. And I was like, I do not expect the future to arrive so quickly. But now with ChatGPT and Midjourney and all of this sort of stuff, I thought it would be fun to go back and see how various directors and actors and scriptwriters and people have dealt with the issues of the interface between human and artificial intelligence. And there's some interesting stuff as I've been thinking about what I want to bring up for this episode. So we're going to do one on AI in the movies. And it's not just going to be all Terminator and the Matrix. Like, there's some good stuff out there, some thoughtful, thought-provoking and intelligent cinematic conversation.
I feel like that's one of the best arguments for consuming science fiction is that it's a way to think about these problems before they come up. And everything that people are panicking about ChatGPT, it's been talked about before in sci-fi for 60 years.
Yeah, like in the 40s.
And of course, we're also going to bring you another Star Trek episode because it wouldn't be a season of the podcast without a Star Trek episode. So we're going to do another episode about the second season of Strange New Worlds, which I'm almost done with, and I am loving it. I instituted again with my kids Star Trek Sunday, which I had growing up, and I'm excited to finally have a Star Trek series that I can watch with my kids.
I actually had to go buy Star Trek Prodigy because they took it off of Paramount Plus. This is a new thing that they're doing now because they don't want to pay royalties or whatever. Like, it's there for a little while, and if you miss your window, it's gone. But I actually wanted to have access to Star Trek Prodigy, so I just bought season one for $20 on Apple TV or Amazon. I forget where I bought it, but I have a digital copy now because I really liked that show. I only watched a couple episodes of Star Trek Strange New Worlds before I realized that I wanted to watch Ahsoka, but I knew I'd need to watch Star Wars Rebels before that. And so I just finished watching Star Wars Rebels this afternoon, actually. And as we're recording right now, the first episode of Ahsoka premiered about 38 minutes ago. So I'm going to go watch that later after we're done recording here. And this reminds me actually of something else I did watch over the summer, which was season 4 of The Dragon Prince, which was a show that started off really interesting in the vein of Avatar The Last Airbender, kids saving the world, but taking them very seriously as intelligent and people worth engaging with and watching them go on this adventure. And I have a friend whose policy is I never start watching a TV show with my kids until it's finished its run, because you never know when in later seasons they're going to start throwing in content that you do not want your kids to watch. And so for those of you who do not want to expose your children to same-sex relationships and dating and marriage and all that sort of stuff, don't watch the Dragon Prince, because fourth season, suddenly, boom, there's this major character who is getting married to another woman, and their whole plot thread revolves around their forthcoming marriage. It's a human and an elf, and they're trying to renegotiate the culture between them, but there it is. If we had just started watching The Dragon Prince, then it would have been a different situation with my kids launching into season four. So anyway, that's also one that I watched. That
it's difficult nowadays because it does seem to be in almost every show. And sometimes your kids aren't ready for that discussion yet. And they need some different examples that are available in media. But back to the deleting things off of streaming services, it seems like that is happening a lot. And it would be interesting if we could find the right people. We could do an episode talking about the writer's strike and the actor's strike and the weird tax things that are going on and just like the state of streaming. So if anyone knows anyone, that would be really interesting to talk about. But we have no expertise in that area. So if you know someone who is LDS and wants to talk about that, we'd love to have them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have a friend, actually, I might be able to ask, but we'll see.
Put the spider tendrils out into the universe and see what comes our way. Anyway, we'd love it if you can recommend the podcast to someone and get excited about our second half of our second season. Remember to seek out everything of Good Report or Praiseworthy, and we'll see you soon.